a message, earnestly contend for the faith which was delivered to the saints. For some time I've been impressed to send a message along this line. I would like to include it in the book of my experiences. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints. This faith that was delivered to the saints, I feel that could be applied as the doctrine that has been delivered unto God's people or unto the world. We have had some wonderful truths delivered unto us through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. As He died upon the cross, He brought and He came down to this world and was made flesh and dwelled among us, and His flesh became the Word. John 1:14. In Peter, he tells us that men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost to write the Word of God, and that the Scripture was not given by any private interpretation. So the Scripture and Word and doctrine that has been handed down to us has been brought about through divine inspiration. And it is glorious and wonderful that we have these precious truths right in our midst and in reach of us. Jude spoke of the common salvation. It's something that is common to where all mankind can reach it, the low and the lofty and the rich and the poor. All classes of people are able to attain to this wonderful truth, this wonderful doctrine that we have. What a wonderful privilege. If it were left up to some people in this world, why, the poor people and the some nationalities would be left out. But Jesus gave us such common salvation that it's on the level to the extent that all mankind can reach it. In Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, I'm sure that when Jude and Paul spoke of contending for the faith and striving for the faith of the gospel, that he wasn't speaking about striving in a carnal way, because the Scripture said that our weapons are not carnal but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Many times people strive in a carnal way. But that wasn't God's plan at all. Jesus came as a lamb, and when he saves us, we become children of God and lambs in his sight, and we are to contend for this wonderful truth in love. Although God wants us to be firm and solid and fixed, and he wants us to teach and practice and live this doctrine right here in this present world. These precious truths that's been brought to us have been trampled underfoot and have been twisted and misrepresented many times. But nevertheless, it is still the truth. It's still the gospel. It makes it of none effect because men teach otherwise. These truths have been brought about through the apostles, on down through others as they have taught these precious doctrines, have brought glorious liberty and freedom to mankind. The saints The saints accepted this truth, and it has brought us to where we are today. It's the thing that has enabled us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's the thing that has given us victory over the flesh and over the devil and enabled us to live a victorious life. These precious truths established in the heart of the older saints has enabled them to live godly lives that have left a wonderful example to the world. And the Lord wants the younger generation to follow these examples that have been set through obeying and living and contending for this faith that we have today. I would like to comment some on some of these doctrines that have been delivered to the saints, or the faith that was delivered to the saints. One wonderful doctrine has been delivered to the saints is the doctrine of divine healing, trusting the Lord for our physical body's needs. This is God's plan, because he said, by his stripes we are healed. Same stripes that are laid upon Jesus' body for the sin of the world, by those same stripes we are healed. And God said in old times that he was the God that healeth thee. And then we're instructed in James, the 5th chapter, if any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Many have trusted the Lord, even until death. But there are those in our day and time that have let down the truth and the gap, and have failed to live up to this wonderful doctrine of divine healing. They have lost their faith in Jesus and turned to man and went to the operation table and went to man for help. But nevertheless, this precious truth still stands the same as it's always stood. And God still wants us to contend that divine healing is a Bible doctrine. The precious truth of modest dress or modest apparel is taught in the Word of God. Timothy said that to be dressed in modest apparel. In 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, with the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old times, the older women also, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Today, the same truth exists, was handed down to us that it was in old times. But it seems we've come to a time, to a generation, where modest apparel is not endorsed as it should be. There's been a letting down. There's been those that have shortened their skirts, become immodest, and low neck dresses, and short sleeves, and various things. But this truth that was delivered to the saints is still the same. For a woman to sit down with her dress too short to cover her knees is not modest. This truth has been handed down and taught to us. The saints have taught long sleeves. There's been a letting down along that line, and many have went to short sleeves. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15. Now, we are instructed here to hold fast the tradition that we've been taught. The traditions that have been taught and handed down to us are based upon the Bible. These traditions have worked in the lives of people, and they're still required today. If we live a life that pleases the Lord, we'll still have to hold fast to these traditions that are taught according to the Bible. These traditions are not tradition of man, but the traditions that have been wholly based upon the Bible. Okay, Cody.
And that from a child.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of whom thou hast learned them, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, Christ Jesus. all Scripture is given by God, inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished to all good works. We're 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. Here we're instructed to hold fast to the things which we have been taught, and knowing of whom we have learned them. Many children have been taught these truths all their life by godly parents, and they know of whom these truths have been taught. They know that their parents have lived a godly life, but many of them have departed from these truths. And also, the true ministers of God have taught these truths over the pulpit down through the years, whose lives backed them up, whose faith followed. So these truths are safe to follow because they are taught by men and women that are saved and sanctified and love the Lord. Another precious truth that is taught through the Word and by the saints is the doctrine of sanctification, a second definite work of grace. When we come to the Lord to get forgiveness of our sins, we're only forgiven of the sins that we commit, and still the Adam nature, which we inherited through the fall, still remains. So it must go out through a second cleansing. The Bible said, sanctify them through thy word, for thy word is truth. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God by the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access in this grace, by faith in this grace wherewith we stand. Here we are taught that we have peace with God through repentance of our sin, and we have access into this faith, or the second work of grace wherewith we stand. But many other scriptures could be quoted, but this should be sufficient. As these precious truths have been taught by the saints, they've been attacked many times. The theory of anti-cleansing has come in among the saints a number of times in the evening light, teaching a doctrine that you get it all at one time, that sanctification doesn't cleanse you. But these doctrines have not changed the Word of God. You're saved. But nevertheless, these doctrines without effect. It still stands the same as it always stood. So we need to earnestly contend also for this wonderful truth. Another precious truth that has become obsolete in the world today and in sectism is the feet washing and the Lord's Supper. It is taught very distinctly about washing one another's feet in the 13th chapter of St. John, but people have substituted that, but there's no substitute to it. We're thankful for that precious truth that once delivered to the saints, it is still practiced among the saints today. Then we're taught in the 11th chapter Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that about the Lord's Supper. So these are precious truths also that God wants us to contend for and still practice them just like the Bible teaches. Another truth we want to speak of is the televisions, or picture shows. The saints have always taught against movies, but the television has come on the scene, and it's just like bringing a moving picture show right into your home. I've heard that statistics shows that what the eye sees is 80% more impressive than what we hear. There are many evil things comes over the TVs and showing there it impressed upon the minds of people, and many times the children put in practice what they have saw over the TV. A little boy came up to me one time about 2 or 3 years old and had a toy gun. Said, "I'm going to shoot you." And I said, "You wouldn't shoot me, would you?" "Yes," he said, "I saw it over the TV." Another time we heard of a young boy that his mother was away and he just tore up the house and turned the furniture over and really upset things. And his mother wanted to know what went wrong with him, what's the matter. And he said, "Well, I'm so-and-so over the TV, some cowboy over the TV." Even the law enforcements see the evil in the TV that is doing to our younger generation. Even one of our great leaders of the FBI, head of the FBI, said that TV was a crime breeder. There's no doubt that what many of the crimes are being committed today are just people reciting what they saw over the TV or imitating someone. Oh, I didn't have it. I have before me a document that was written and 77 ministers signed it, voicing their opinion against the TV. This is the quotation, the original document. There's been no changes made in it since the original.
Printed September 1959. To whom it may concern, we, the undersigned ministers of the Church of God, seeing the spiritual and moral detriment and sinful influence of the television, definitely believe and teach from the Scriptures that the use of the television is wrong and should have no place in the home. A few scriptures are here quoted. "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the works of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Psalms 101, 2 and 3. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." 1 John 2:15 and 16. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. Therefore we warn everyone against it, the television's use, and advise that anyone who has professed to be out in the clear light of God's truth and has begun using the television or bringing it into the home over which they have control, 1 Timothy 3:4-5, has lowered the standard and has disqualified himself as a pattern for the saints. Murphy Allen, Fred Pruitt, Sister Marie Miles, George W. Stevenson, O.C. Porter, John R. Sisk, Ira D. Stover, Ruby E. Stover, Lewis Williams, Sister Margaret Eck, Max F. Williamson, E.B. Pinkerton, Salvador Didio, Lottie Joyner, D.A. Gibson, Roy D. Harmon, T.E. Whipple, Henry Cheney, William A. McCoy, Everett B. Pierce, Ray Key, T.H. Golden, Charles Neely, Paul Lambert, Catherine Key, Earl L. Sharp, Alice Moreland, Lloyd Dollins, Merrill A. Williamson, Sam J. Barton, Fern Stubblefield, Troy Meek, David Madden, Leron West, Charles R. Smith, Richard Madden, Ori Young, Samuel E. Abbott, Armilda Abbott, A. E. Harmon, O. B. Wilson, Opal B. Wilson, E. J. Trotter, E. M. Zinn, Sister S. E. Wilson, John W. Wilson, Jerry Lee Quave, Laverne Manuel, Cecil C. Carver, T. Gus Polis, Ruth M. Murphy, Beatrice Spar, E. W. Sanders, M. S. Greer, Nancy Jones, A. D. B. Davis, Genevieve Carver, Lucille Elliott, Anita Cortaway, Nellie Polis, Gus P. Polis, Bessie L. Gordon, Artie M. Bowers, Woodrow Warren, Leslie Busby, W. W. Crawley, Catherine Williams, Annabelle Allen, Manley L. Jones, Ben Goldsberry, Thomas B. McMillan, Carrie E. McMillan, Archie Souders, Clarence Hatley, Edward Joe Kramer, and Emma L. Dilly. This is to certify that the foregoing is a true and correct copy of the original document which is on file with the undersigned Secretary of the Church of God National Camp Meeting, Lawrence D. Pruitt, 1116 West Washington, Guthrie, Oklahoma.
These are the 77 names of ministers that have signed this document. We trust that each one that put their name here has been true to their signature and still stands against the TV as much as they did when they signed their name. There is no doubt that what the television has got much worse, more evil, since this document was written. If since signing your name to this document you have changed your mind and endorsed television, you have become a transgressor because you have built the things that you one time destroyed. The enemy is doing his best to get the saints to lower the standard. There are things that are endeavoring to creep in among us that are not in harmony with the Word of God, that we need to hold out firm against and contend against them. There's a scripture in the old Bible said that who would have ever thought that sin would enter into Jerusalem? Jerusalem was so fortified, and I believe the history tells us that the walls were around 80 some feet thick. And no doubt the gates were iron and guarded and all, but said who would ever thought that sin would enter in? He's thinking about this in a spiritual way. Who would have ever thought that sin would enter into the camp of the saints? We know that there's no sin in the church, and but there are sin in the camp of the saints. There are those that claim to be saints of God that are living far below the standard that God would have us live.
There is a spirit of the world that's creeping in among the saints, and they're catering to that spirit and even neglecting the assembling of themselves together. The spirit of the world seems to be that people are on the go and seem like far too much entertainment instead of spirituality coming in among our camp meetings. Seem like far too much entertainment, and people think they have to have some kind of a worldly entertainment, but we're to come together to worship the Lord. Far too much catering to the worldly things, like worldly fashions. Many are trimming up their clothes and putting on superfluity, which is taught against by the Bible and the saints down through the ages.
Someone will argue that, look at my skirt, I'm modest, but what made you modest? Was it because the style of the skirts become long? Or did you have it in your heart? Some of the same ones that are wearing the long skirts now, when the skirts were short, was wearing them far too short. So we'll wait and see when the style changes, which no doubt it will. We'll see then if you get a new wardrobe and think that your long skirts and dresses are obsolete. I'm thankful to know that we do have a more modern style, modest styles. But we as the saints of God need to pick a modest styles and length and stay with it regardless if the skirts goes up or down. Why, stay with the Bible doctrine of modest apparel anyway. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither things are in the world. For all in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So, however we dress, be sure that pride is not prompting the way we dress. Another something we want to speak against is the spirit of foolishness among the saints, especially among our young folks, and even among some of the older. There seems to be a spirit of jesting and joking, which is condemned by Paul's writing. He said, let not jesting and joking be once named among you as becometh the saints, neither foolish talking.
Scripture tells us that He'll give us the spirit of a sound mind. Whatever we do, in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. I certainly appreciate our young folks that are living for God and devoting their life to Christ. And I only speak these things to discourage these worldly-minded spirits, that we watch them and fight against them and earnestly contend for the truth. We have many young people that are endeavoring to live for God now, and we want you to still contend for their faith and live close to God and be real examples. And never think of going with a unsaved boy or girl if you're saved. That's not according to Scripture, that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Saints need to keep company with saints, and you need to pray earnestly that God will help you to find the one in life for you, and God will be pleased with directing you to that one in whom you would have for your companion through life. We're praying for our young saints because we realize you're the ones going to have to take over and going to be the future church. And God wants you to get settled and rooted and grounded so you can carry on with the same truth and doctrine that's been taught down through the years. This doctrine, or this truth, receive him not into your house. This could have a twofold meaning. Want any false doctrine taught even in our earthly home. But I believe it has a more deep meaning, our house, our heart, or into the church. Receive not this doctrine. He said if we did, we were partakers of evil deeds. I'm reminded of a happening years ago in the southern states. There was a brother that embraced the truth and preached for the saints, but he began to bring in another doctrine and began to be taken up to some extent with it. So the saints at this location, this congregation, packed all of them, went to his home one night and let him know that we will not tolerate this doctrine you're teaching. And this brother humbled himself and seemed to repent of his false doctrine. Saints, we need to be just that firm. If any come and bring any other doctrine, if they come and bring any other teaching than that which has been taught, that which has been embraced, that was taught down to the annals of time, God don't want us to receive that into our house, into our hearts, but contend for the faith that must deliver the saints, striving together for the faith. But notice he said the faith, not a faith, not another faith, but the faith, signifying that there is but one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God who is above all and through all and in you all. There seemed to be a spirit among us of liberty of conscience. You just do whatever you feel like you want to, and I'll do the same.
Dear Saints, that's the very thing that started the downfall in this Evening Light Reformation back in the early 1900s. The liberty of conscience theory come in among us. You just do whatever you feel like you ought to, and I'll do the same. If you feel like you ought to wear a necktie, well, that's all right. But if I don't feel like I should, well, I won't. But we won't contradict each other. And he went on, and look where it's led to today. Look what a downfall it's been. Look what a compromise, what a disastrous thing has happened. The real only way that we can be safe is follow the Spirit and the Word. And that will not lead us into anything contrary to the true doctrine that's once delivered to the saints. Paul tells us that we're all to speak the same thing and be perfectly joined together in one spirit. We're knitted together and compact together and set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So how can we be knit together and set together in heavenly places if you're teaching one thing and I'm teaching another thing? Amos said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? The true Spirit of God will lead us all into the same line of truth, into the same doctrine. Many have come and gone, but thanks God the true church still stands the same today. Thank God for the true saints that have stood firm down through the years and have held the standard and preached the truth without compromise. The Scripture tells us to hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amidst all the confusion and all the things that have happened down through the years, thank God the truth is still marching on. The truth is what set us free, is what will keep us free. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. David said, my feet standeth in an even path. Paul said to stand fast in the liberty and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And that ranger, and it ran it up with the ranger fastened down almost her elbow. They got it stopped and got her hand out, but after they looked to the Lord and had prayer, there was no very much after effects about it all. The Lord wonderfully undertake. And during this meeting at Gina, Louisiana, Brother Darius Gibson's mother became very ill, and he was called away, so he left us, went back to Springfield, Missouri to be with his mother. Left me and my family and Brother Egbert and his wife. After we closed our meeting, we headed back to Missouri. During this time, God blessed me so I could buy a battery from a car and a tire that I needed real bad on the trailer house. One of my tires was running on the trailer, was just running on the fiber. The tread was off a part of it. So we were blessed to have a tire, but we wasn't blessed enough to felt like to get us a... So we were very thankful to have a place to be, and I worked some around through the winter, and the Lord provided for us. and be turned away from the truth and be turned unto the fables. But he told him to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Paul told us to exhort and reprove and rebuke with all long suffering. We certainly need to have long suffering, but sometimes it takes a real rebuke in the name of the Lord. Humility is one of the greatest assets I know in the Christian life. The song says, humble thyself to walk with God. Just as the stream finds a bed that is lowly, so Jesus walks with the pure and the holy. James said, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift thee up. The Apostle Paul said, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. And he also said, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which I preached was not after man, neither was I taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Pride is quite a deceiving thing. It makes people think they're something when they're nothing. Brother Phillips years ago described pride as like a big soap bubble. It looks real, but the first thing you know, it's collapsed and gone. The scripture said, he that thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, deceiveth himself. In Jeremiah 6 and 16, it tells us to inquire for the old paths wherein is a good way, and you'll find rest to your soul. The old paths are the original paths. The one has been beaten out by the saints of old. Calls it a good way. Surely the old paths have been a real results. It's brought real godly results in the hearts of those that have traveled in the old paths. It tells us here to inquire for the old paths. It signifies that some have not found the old paths yet. And then perhaps it could mean that some have left the old paths and got off in a bypass, got off in a new path, a new camouflaged way that the enemy has brought up in the last days of time. If we have not found the old paths, we need to inquire till we find the old paths, and then walk therein, and we'll find rest to our soul. If we've left the old paths and went after in some other path of life, we need to return to the old paths, or we'll never have rest to our soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. We meet up with that attitude today that we're not going to go this way. One man told me a few years back, he said, I was in a saints meeting where the truth was taught by one of God's ministers. And he said, I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to walk therein. But he said the Lord told him, if you don't walk therein, you won't have any rest. I won't go with you. So it's just that serious. If we have light and won't walk in the light, that light will become darkness. How great will that darkness be? So if we will not walk therein, the saints will keep marching on and we'll lose our soul at the end of life's journey. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, with all deceivableness, unrighteousness, they must perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, they shall believe a lie and be damned, all might be damned, who believe not the truth, had pleasure in unrighteousness. Here Paul tells us that because they had not a love for the truth, he would send them a strong delusion. Delusion is something when we think we're right when we're wrong. After people depart from the truth, they have opened their heart's door for anything that the enemy has to offer. And there have been those that have left the truth and went off and got in a deluded condition and still professed, and he said, believe the lie and be damned. Oh, what a sad thing it is to think we're right when we're wrong. A number of years ago, I was at a service station in South Missouri, and a man came along going east. And he says, I'll soon be in Oklahoma, won't I? The village station operator informed him that you're not even going in the direction of Oklahoma. Said, if you keep going, in a little while, you'll be in Tennessee. Well, no doubt, the man's countenance fell. At Springfield, Missouri, he came in from the north and intersect 60 Highway, and he should have turned west, and he turned east, thought he was going west. And he traveled approximately 125 miles east, thinking he was going west, thinking he was close to Oklahoma, and he was getting closer to Tennessee. The only thing he could do was turn around and backtrack the 125 miles and take up where he left off. If you departed from the truth, if you left the truth, if you rebelled against the truth, the only thing you can do is start over, repent before God in the sense, and do your first works over, and get started out right, and God will have mercy. We're told if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. People don't have any problem having fellowship with the saints of God when they walk in the light. We've heard the expression that I just don't fit with the saints. Folks, if we don't fit with the saints, we don't fit with God either. Ephesians tells us that we are fitly framed together and grow into a holy temple of the Lord. Salvation makes us a member of God's church and knits us together. Well, thank the Lord for the true church of God. As Matthew said, that we build upon the rock and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank God for the true saints that have stood true and faithful, walked humbly with God, have such a precious fellowship together, enjoy each other's presence, enjoy being together in the service of the Lord. We'll go many miles to be together and enjoy that wonderful fellowship. The Lord's going to have a church when he returns, because he said when this we went to meet him in the air, that those who are alive and remain should be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So this signifies there will still be a church, there will still be a saved people when the Lord comes. When I found the family of God, I was so pleased. It was so wonderful that I came to stay. I've been disappointed in individuals, and some have come and gone, but the real Church of God, the real true saints of God, are still holding firm, still contending for the same faith as once delivered to the saints, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. But not unto me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. Oh, saints, think of that crown that's laid up for the righteous, for the faithful, for the true, for those that have kept the faith, those that have stayed with the truth. Dear Brother Lazarus says he was in this earth, he was filled with sores and laid at the rich man's gate, and the dog licked his sores. But thank God, one time he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, where he was comforted. This old earthly house of this tabernacle will one day be dissolved, but thank God we have a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. The toil of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. Let us lift up our eyes like a flint, set our face towards heaven, determined that nothing will move us, nothing will turn us aside. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Lord has promised us that we are not be tempted above we're able to bear, that we'll with the temptation make a way to escape that we'd be able to bear it. He has promised where sin abound, grace much more abound. Greater is he that's within you and he that's in the world. Thank God for the family of God, which are so precious. We have learned how precious the family of God are, how they bear one another's burden. When one member suffers, they all suffer with it. Oh, how we do appreciate the love the saints have shown to us in our afflictions, in our time of suffering, how they've called and written letters, and how they've come and how they've expressed their love to us in many ways. Oh, we thank God for the true family of God. You are the saints that are going through heavy trials. You that are afflicted. Be true to God. God loves you. God is concerned about you. When you suffer, he suffers also. He was tempted in all points like as we are, so he might be able to succor, aid, or to help us. A word to the ministers. Be faithful, live humble, walk humbly with thy God. The Lord will see you through. We're living in a rebellious age. There may be times in life that we meet, like Apostle Paul, that no man stood with thee. But nevertheless, the Lord stood with thee and comforted thee. as long as we stay with the truth and preach the truth, Lord will stand with us and comfort us and strengthen us. The Bible tells us to be a partaker of the fruits and to be an example to the flock and to also lift up a standard for the people. So the ministry has a great responsibility laid upon us to hold up a standard and lift up a standard for the people. As we bring this message to a close, and like seems our active work is almost finished in the earth, unless God undertakes. But we desire and mean, by the help of the Lord and the prayers of saints, to trust the Lord all the way, regardless of the outcome. We know God is able to heal, make us well. Let us go on and work for Him a number of years. But nevertheless, if God sees fit to take us home to be with Him, we want to be faithful. In any case, it's victory, whether we go or whether we stay. Either way is victory. If you received any help from this book or this message, give God the praise, the honor, all glory, all praise belongeth unto Him. We don't know what we've accomplished in our work for the Lord, but nevertheless we have tried, and we leave the results in the hands of a just God. Remember our text, earnestly contend for the faith as much delivered to the saints.
Another text I'd like to leave with you is Acts 14:22. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they were turned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and we must through much tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. He said through much tribulation we'd enter into the kingdom of God. So we don't know what our tribulation or problems will be in this life, but heaven will surely be worth it all. May the good Lord bless and watch between thee and me while we're apart, and be gracious unto thee till we meet again, whether it be upon this earth or whether it be in glory.